How many is happy for our church family?
Amen.
How many loves your family?
Amen.
Church family. I mean, it's kind of just where you're at. Just look around and look at all those that you're going to spend eternity with. Just take a moment to look around.
Right.
Amen. I count it a privilege to be able to walk this earth with you.
Right.
And, you know, we need to remember that all these that we're looking at, they're sons and daughters of God.
Right.
And they're royalty. Right. Amen. Not just us, but each other. And so we certainly want to be a royal family, and I believe we are. Amen. It's good to be with you this morning. It's good to have the other half of the church back. I was thinking they're our evangelistic team that go out and help support meetings, you know, when Brother Daniel goes out, and that's important. We want to do that. That's part of our ministry, is to reach out and help and encourage others and so forth. Not just the people who have never heard, but even our brothers and sisters in other churches. And so good to have them back. And it's just everybody here this morning begin to sing, and it sounded like angels in here, you know. So we really appreciate that. Did want to say that Brother Ben Norrod will be with us in service January 24th and 25th, you know, Saturday and Sunday. I made those arrangements a couple of weeks ago, and I thought, you know, better make that announcement before I forget, you know. Anyway, so January 24th and 25th. Amen. Let's just open our Bibles now. We're going to read 1 Peter chapter 1. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll begin reading of verse 1 and read down to verse 9. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit and obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us. Look at that. Uh-huh. Again. Yeah. Ever notice that?
Right.
When did he begat us the first time? That's not part of my notes. That's just lie there. So, begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
Amen.
To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ,
Amen.
Whom having not seen, ye love, and whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of
Amen.
Glory,
right.
Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And then we want to read from Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 3 and verse 6. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please
That's
him,
right.
For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Well, the title is this morning, Why Does God Require Faith? Amen. Let's just pray for a moment. Lord Jesus, how blessed we are, Lord, to be able to be purchased by your blood and to be part of your redeemed. Lord, we don't say that boastfully. We say that with thankfulness, Lord, believing your word that you have done these things and that the change that has happened in our life was your hand, drawing us to yourself. We love you, Lord, this morning. We are asking God that you'd come into this service this morning, that you'd speak to every heart, those present, those streaming, those that will hear this later. We're asking for your blessings upon them also. God, that you would increase our faith this morning. Help us to be drawn up into your presence, Lord, to understand the worthiness of this walk that we walk.
Yes.
We ask for your blessings upon each and everything this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord bless you. I wanted to read a little quote this morning. Timothy Miller sent me part of this, a quote, and I went ahead and pulled it up. There was more of it that I wanted to share with you this morning. It's from the supernatural. He says, "But it is the attitude of the people that brings the results. That's the reason that at Pentecost they had to go into the upper room and pray until the Holy Ghost came, because they got in one place and in one accord. It's the atmosphere what brings the results. You believe that? Let every man and woman in this building this morning, every boy and girl, get everything from their minds but the Lord Jesus, and believe that he stands present right now, and you'll see something happen that'll cause headlines in the newspaper in the morning. That's right. It's atmosphere." He goes on to say, quoting Brother Bosworth said, "You can take an egg from a hen and you can put it under a pup and hatch a chicken, because it's the atmosphere." Amen. Getting in the right atmosphere. And you don't have to be in church to be in the right atmosphere, but church is certainly one place where it should be.
Right.
Amen. And so we know that. Amen. Why does God require faith? You know, we all have trials that are before us. Every one of us right now, I don't even have to ask you, because I don't have to ask you because I know where we are in this thing. And I know that every one of you have trials before you, and not just simple trials, but trials that are huge. And so many of the trials we go through, and especially now, come to the place where it just looks like there's no way out. There's just no way. How can this be? It might be your health. You may have a health issue that you've had to deal with for so long, and maybe doctors are not doing any good for you, or haven't done, or can't do good for you. It might be an issue with family. You might have wayward loved ones, or family members or children that look like maybe that they have walked away and went so far that you just don't see how they could possibly come back. You see those things. It might be a financial situation and where things have happened and stuff has come your way, and you just don't know how that you're going to be able to meet your financial obligations. It might be that Satan is using your past against you, and you just don't feel like you can fully get free from whatever he's trying to hold against you from your past, when the Lord says he forgives you for it, and Satan wants to hold that there. And if for you young people, it might be your future. You might be worried about your future. You might say, "You know what? I see this world falling apart. I hear the ministry talking about the falling apart of the world. I see it. And I want to have a life. I want to find a mate. I want to live and have a family." You might, and you say, "Well, I just don't see how that can happen. How can that be?" Right? So we all have trials that comes to the place where it just looks like there's no way out. And I just want to present to you this morning that I look at those situations like that. I look at them as giants standing before us, just like Goliath standing before David. I've made several comments recently about giants, because that's on my mind, is that the circumstances that are before us, all of us, we look at them and they are giants to us. And that means that when we look at the situation, we don't feel like there's any way that we can get out of it. That this enemy is going to win. That he's going to take our children. He's going to take our lives with medical. We're going to be crippled our whole life or something like that. See? But I want to tell you something. You do not have to lay down to any of those things, all right?
Right.
I don't care what's wrong with you. If you got a need for healing, if you need a future that's got God in it, and you don't see how it can happen, everything that you could possibly need, you don't have to take the devil's life or any of it.
That's right.
Amen?
But
you have to believe God's promises. And so those things stand before you. And you know, giants, I was just wondering, thinking back yesterday, well, why did God make giants? You read in the Old Testament there. Why did he allow there to be giants or create giants for the children of Israel to have to come along and fight?
Yeah.
Right? Because it's the whole plan. You understand, giants are supposed to look big. Giants are supposed to be such that you and yourself, and you know there's no way you can pick up a tool or do something and you can defeat it. That's right. They're supposed to look that big. We know in God's word that giants fall. And the bigger they are, the harder they fall.
That's right.
Right? You know, I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but you take something standing up, the taller it is, when it's swinging, that speed up there, by the time it hits, it's something else. I imagine when Goliath's head hit the ground, it was quite a sight. There might not have been a full round head for David to cut off. It might have been half flattened, you know?
Right.
I'm just saying, giants fall.
Right.
And we have to believe that.
Uh-huh.
So when we look at these trials that come our way, we have to ask ourselves, well, why does God allow this? Why? I'll say it this way, why does God do this? Uh-huh. Because you realize it has to come across his desk. It can't come your way unless he's allowing it, right? We know that. And maybe I'll say a few things about that later. But why does he allow this? Why does he allow these things to come before us that look like this? Why? And so I ask the question as a titler, why does God require faith? Why can't it just be smooth sailing after we give our hearts to the Lord? Why can't everything just be wonderful and everything work right? And everybody that's looking at us looks and look. They're Christians, and nothing ever happens wrong. Nothing ever is a problem. Why can't it be that way? Right? God could have done that if he wanted to, but he didn't. So why is it like that? And why is it that when you want to accept a promise of God and you set out to serve God and you set out to walk in something he's promised, that everything in the world that rises up is to challenge what you've set out to do? Right. Every time you want to believe God for something, then something else comes along. Right. Everything that just happens, like it was with Abraham, promised to have that promised seed. Right. Then Pharaoh says, no, I'm going to take the wife and you ain't going to have nothing. Right. Abimelech, same thing. Right. Hagar, that thing come along. Everything was to test and try that seed. And even after the seed came, then God said, now go kill it.
Right. Yeah.
See, every trial that comes was there to try and defeat the promise of God that was given to Abraham, the promise of God that's given to you. Everything comes along is there to challenge that, but yet the promise is still there.
Right.
Right?
Amen.
And so Abraham was the father of faith because in all that he believed God's promise. And no matter whether there was a Pharaoh, and he had to deal with that. He had to deal with Pharaoh. And don't you know that while that was going on, that Abraham had to fight with the thoughts and Satan saying, you'll never get her back. She'll be pregnant. By the time you do get her back, she'll have another man's seed. You know the devil. You know how he is.
Sure.
Right? We'll just expose him.
Right?
See, he don't care.
No.
All is fair, you know, for him. He'll use whatever he can. So you know Abraham was going through. Yet Abraham, father of faith, he believed during all that time. And so everything is there just to do that. But I just tell you, those things are scarecrows.
That's right.
That's all they are. They're scarecrows. Right. I'll tell you what they are. They're warfare propaganda.
Right.
Right?
Amen.
Propaganda is where that other enemy tries to flood you with false information to get you to lose the war, get you to doubt. And that's what it is. It's propaganda. Because it's a lie. It's not true. God's word is what's true.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
And so why does God allow these things? Well, I'll tell you, he allows these things because you are sons and daughters of God. And God is a wonderful parent.
Right.
And so maybe you don't know where I'm going with that. But I pray this morning that the Lord will show you something here, maybe perhaps that you haven't seen. If you have seen it, then maybe it can be renewed. Amen? But you go through these things because you are God's children and God is a wonderful parent. A parent's job is to bring a child up to the place where that child is equal with the parent in wisdom and in knowledge and in ability, in the abilities. In other words, I used the phrase in the past, as being self-regulated adult. But honestly, what a parent's job is to bring that child up so that that child possesses everything they need to be perpetual and go on and have a family, continue the seed line and keep. And so they've got to be able to make wise decisions. They've got to be able to see what the devil's trying to do and get around that by faith and all the different things. Yeah. So a parent's job is to do that.
Right.
And so that's God's job.
Right.
Right? So, and when a parent is successfully able to do that, it's like, and this is just my canary brain way of seeing this, but when a parent is successful in that child becoming equal with them in wisdom and knowledge and abilities, then in essence, the parent can live on in that child.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right? That parent, that same life that was in mom and dad can now live on through them. And when that happens, there's a certain rest that the parent can come into whenever that child reaches that place, and the parent can say, I know they've got it. I know their experience is real, and I know that I don't have to worry. They'll be fine. I'll be okay. I can go to my grave, or I can rest because I know everything's going to be fine.
Amen. Right.
Right? So there's a rest that comes with a child coming to its maturity level. And so a parent cannot rest until they see that. Proverbs, we'll read Proverbs 29, verse 15 through 17. Show you this. Really, 17 is the main scripture there, but the scripture says the rod in reproof giveth wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. That's what happens when children are left to themselves.
Right?
Right? He says, when the wicked are multiplied, transgression increaseth. We see that out there in the world, right?
Right.
But as righteous people, we will see their fall.
Right?
Right?
Yeah.
Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest.
Amen.
Right?
Right.
He shall give thee light unto thy soul. So what I'm showing you there, that this in the natural, but this is true with God. Right? That the Holy Spirit cannot rest until he has molded into you all the characteristics that he knows that you need. And that is your inheritance, right? Because inheritance is, for Israel, it was a land. Everything they'd ever need would be right there. For us, it's the Holy Spirit. A true, round, well-rounded, full experience in the Holy Ghost. Not just a sensation, but a full experience in the
right.
Lord. That's what, and so the Spirit of God can't rest as long as you're lacking in that, because he knows what you need to be able to live eternally.
Right.
Right? We need to remember what the realm is that God lives in and what he lives through and works through and lives in. And so God lives in this realm of the spoken word.
Right.
But it's not just the spoken word, it is the faith to operate it. The faith to be able to speak it in the first place, but even after it's spoken, the faith to believe that it'll carry out and do what it says it'll do.
Amen.
So this is the realm, this is the very whole realm that God has, is created power.
Right.
Spoken word. Right?
Right?
We know that Lucifer does not have that.
Right.
We know that he desires it, he covets it.
Right.
Brother Bram said, Lucifer was equal with God in everything except, right? Everything except creation.
Yeah.
When I think of that, I think of it like this, that then it's pretty clear to me where our victory over the devil lies.
Yeah. Right.
It lies in something he doesn't have.
Man.
Right?
Right.
It's that's where it lays, in something he doesn't have. And so he doesn't have it, but newsflash, God's children do.
Amen. That's right.
God's children have it in their gene. Their spiritual gene has that care, because that's what makes them a child of God.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. I believe that.
Right.
His children have that in their spiritual gene, but it has to grow up into maturity. Amen.
Right.
So this is the realm that God lives in. We know that God pours out his blessings on the just and on the unjust. Because there's people out there, as the prophet said, well, I've seen prostitutes come across the platform and receive their healing by faith, and sainted women come along and listen, right? And so what I want to show you is God pours out his blessings, his rain, his blessings on both the just and the unjust, because God wants to lay it out there for everybody. You can all have it, but he knows that not all is going to take it. And so he throws out and says, if you believe, you can have it. And some people believe and get it, right? So he pours his blessings out on both, on all groups. And so anyone who believes a promise of God's word can receive it. Right. Amen?
Amen?
But to God's children, they are ordained to receive a greater portion of the word, a greater revelation, and therefore a greater level of faith for greater things.
Right.
Right? God has thrown it out there for his family. He's thrown redemption out there to save, right? To redeem back those that were there.
Right.
He's not throwing it out there to bring back devils. He's not throwing it out there to bring harms to the prostitutes as long as they stay as prostitutes, right? So you understand what I'm saying? He throws it out there, and some people get those blessings, but the whole thing is really thrown out there for redeeming his people.
Yeah.
And for them, that same concept works, is that if you can believe his word, you can have it. And it just so happens that they, by predestination, will receive a greater word, a greater portion. They'll receive the revelation of rapture, right, and they get to be partakers of it when the rest of the world doesn't. Just a greater level. So I want you to think of this. That before the beginning, we know it says it, but you know, in the beginning God created and so forth. But as we have illustrated in the past, that, you know, really in the beginning was when he spoke his word. Right? But before that, before the beginning, God dwelt alone. Right? God dwelt alone, and he had there in him, he had thoughts, he had desires, he had attributes, right? We're familiar with this. This is just plain message terminology. He had desires and thoughts and attributes, and he had the ability to be God. But there wasn't anybody to worship him, because God is an object of worship.
Right.
He had the ability to be a healer, but there wasn't anybody that he healed. He had the ability to be a savior, nobody lost, to be a father, to be a husband, to be a king, to be the seven compound redemptive names of Jehovah. You know, everything the scripture says that he is, he had those attributes to be those things.
Right.
But how? How could he be those things if there was nobody there to be the opposite side of the relationship? He wanted to be a father, but he would have to have a son. Well, there wasn't a, he was by himself.
Right.
He was by himself there. There was no one there. And so the only way that he could, you know, somehow these subjects have to come into being.
Right.
His family would have to come in so he could be a father. All these things would have to come into being, but he was there by himself. There was no angel, star, molecule, nothing. There was nobody there to encourage him. There was no sermon that somebody could preach to him to get him fired up.
Right?
Right? No sermons. There wasn't a wind from heaven that swept over and made him feel good. Right? No sign. He couldn't see a sign. Oh, there's my sign. I can believe now. He didn't have that.
Right?
Amen. Every odd was against him. In other words, there was nothing there that could encourage him, that could pat him on the back. Everything that was there, because there was nothing, was to say, how's it going to be? You going to be a father? How are you going to be a father? You going to be a healer? How are you going to be a healer? See? It's as it was a great giant standing before him, of a great circumstance standing there that is saying, how's that going to be? How are you going to, you have a desire for a family and all, how are you going to, how's this painful desire that you have, how are you going to get that? Right?
Right.
We can understand that.
Right.
Like I said, giants are supposed to look bigger. And so here's God standing there, and God is standing there on the brink of something. The brink is an extreme edge of something. I think I looked it up, and they're like, a brink means an extreme edge of land or something like that. But an extreme edge, on the brink of something, that something great, you hear the phrase, a brink of something happening or whatever. God's standing there, and he's at a brink. He's at a place of, how can I have these children? How can I manifest these? There's nothing there, and there's nothing to encourage me, and whatever. And in that realm, in that particular condition, that environment, he was able to speak.
Amen.
And believe.
Right.
He had zero of anything outside of him to encourage him.
Right.
The only thing he had was what was in him, this desire, this attribute, but this attribute to be able to speak and believe. He had that. Amen?
Amen.
And so he's standing there on that, and you know, nobody, we say, well, I have desires. I have family that I want to see saved, or I have this, or I have that. I want to be healed. Nobody can experience it like what God did there when he stood there at that brink. Nobody can feel that painful desire. I must have a family. I must have children. I must have a bride. None of us can feel it that way, right? So that we do in smaller levels because he's the great one, and you understand we're spinoffs of him. So he stood there and was able in the midst of that environment to speak a world and just to speak all these things, to send forth his logos. He was able to do that. This is the realm that God lives in. If he heals you, that's the realm where your healing comes. This is heaven. This is eternal life.
Yep.
This is the life and nature of God.
Amen.
Satan don't have it.
Oh, that's right.
Right? The children of the world don't have it.
Right.
But God's children have it in them, in their genetic, in their gene. That's what makes them sons and daughters of God. But that has to come forth into maturity. Amen.
Amen.
We know that. You know, I said giants they're supposed to look bigger. Giants are supposed to be such that when you look at them and you look around and you're like, there's nothing. I have nothing to fight them with. Right? So that you will turn to something you can fight them with. Right? So that you won't trust in the doctor, even though we're thankful. Or you won't trust in this, and you won't trust in that. And because you know those, that it's a mixed bag. It's a tree of knowledge of good and evil. And they might be able to help, but a lot of time they don't. And I'll say this, pretty much most of the time, anything off that tree, it's got evil in it. I don't care how good it looks.
Yep.
Right? We've got to learn to eat off this other tree.
Yep.
Right? And this other tree has nothing out here, like God standing there on that brink, and he had nothing that he could turn to except that attribute within him.
Right.
Right? And so it's the same thing with us. These giants, God puts before us these things so we feel the same way he felt when he was standing there. And knowing that I can't turn to anything that's given me a confidence that my children are going to be saved, or my body's going to be healed, or my wife's going to be healed. Right? Can't see, because I could try to look at this other tree, but you come away sad because it's limited. It can't do it, right? Because there's only one thing that can truly, truly do it, and it has nothing to do with this realm. It has to do with the spoken word realm.
Right.
That's where it comes from.
Right. Right.
Amen. His whole realm operates from speaking, believing. If God needs something, he just speaks it.
Right?
He just speaks it into existence.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And when he does that, all the wisdom, knowledge, and science behind whatever it is he speaks, all that's created with it.
Right?
Right? Right. I don't know if he could, let's say God could just speak something into existence, and scientists could spend thousands of years trying to study what this thing is that God has created and trying to, and found out with this here, there was a new molecule and all that. They can do all that description, and all I'm saying is when you're an infinite God and you have supernatural spoken word ability, you don't have to worry about it. You just speak it, and in that infinite
Amen.
Being that goes into that word creates it, and then science has to try and figure out what it is and how it works, right? My whole point in saying that is you don't have to understand it. You don't have to see how it's going to work. You just have to know what God's word says, and you believe it. You believe it, you hold on it, you stand pat on it, you thank Him every day, you confess it every day, you rejoice in it, you tell people, you testify, right?
Amen.
That's what you do.
Right.
Amen. That's the world that God lives in. That's the realm He lives in and operates in, and that's the realm of eternal life.
Right. Amen.
Amen. So if God wants to raise up children to be like Him, what do you think He's going to teach them to do? Why does He require faith? Huh? That's the realm He's in. That's what He lives in.
Amen.
He doesn't have to stoop down to all that. He doesn't, you understand, that's His realm. And His job as a parent is to bring us to that realm. So what does He do? He teaches us how to be like Him. What does He do? He puts us in situations that we can't figure out a way out unless we turn to spoken word.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
That's what He does, so we can live like Him, and so that He can live on in us.
Right?
Right? So He can live on in us, and so that He can come to a rest.
Amen.
You know, it's you just, like I said all the time, you just have to look at things through it. Through God's way of thinking.
Yeah.
And if the scripture said God needed rest, then somehow He needed it. And we need to figure out I understand how it works. And you understand, as the prophet said, seeing the Holy Spirit moving around, he can see that pillar of fire, and he says, just looking for a believing heart that he can rest upon.
Uh-huh.
Right? That's all God was looking at. He's looking for His children. He's just like, I can't rest until I know they've got it. And they've reached that place, and I know they're there. Then He can rest.
Right.
And it's like His life is now going on perpetually, eternally,
yeah.
And for Him, as it would be perpetually for us, but eternally through them, and there's a rest that can come. You know, and we as parents, we understand that deep, one of the most deepest groanings we have within us is to see our children prosper in the thing that is right. And when we see them going in places and down roads that it's not, you can't get away from it. You're not supposed to get away from it. That's who you are as a parent. It's part of you.
Right.
That's
right.
Part of that molded, made in your gene from God to be like that, because God has given you that responsibility to watch over your children, to bring them to that place so they can carry that line on.
Yeah. Right.
And God's the same way. With eternal life.
Right.
To take it on further. So He can live in us. So trials come. Trials come to everybody, but these trials affect us differently. They affect believers differently. Right? You know, the scripture said that angels of God are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who shall be heirs of salvation. There's no scripture that says angels go out and minister to anybody else. God is not frivolous. He isn't. He's very efficient. His purpose to send ministering spirits to those who are His, that are going to be heirs of salvation. That's who they minister to. That's what they're for. It could be an angel from heaven with wings that would come and say, "Hi, I'm Gabriel. I'm here to tell you something." Right? It could just be a thought that moves upon you. Something that causes you to feel like going in a certain way spiritually, you know?
Right.
It could be that. It could be a man from a pulpit. It could be an angel speaking to you. It could be a prophet to the age. They're all angels, right? But what they all are is they're all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who should be heirs of salvation.
Right.
Not to others. So I said all that because the Holy Spirit cannot rest. He must deal with you. He must dispatch these spirits to come and move upon you and woo you. And this is why This is why people need to understand just the basic concept of conviction. What it is. I don't want to go to church. It makes me feel bad. Well, the reason why it feels is because God's dealing with you. And that's why you feel that way. He's dealing with you. He's causing ministering spirits to minister there to draw you and get you to receive and believe on His word and act upon His word. So that's why these things, these trials and stuff that go through us, that when they come at us, they affect us in a spiritual way that it maybe doesn't the rest of them because we, as the sons and daughters of God, we have a different path. We have a different way that God is taking us. And so the same trials that maybe somebody else goes through affects them differently. But for us, it all has to do with the promise of God of our life being part of His gene of life. Those things come that way. That's why they affect us differently. And they are to draw. This whole thing is there is to draw out of us. I don't know why this thing does it. I got as high as it'll go. But it's there to draw out of us the eternal life that's in us. Remember, I want to encourage you to believe what God has sent and the things that has been said by Vindicated Ministry. And thus is that is that he said, you just didn't get eternal life when you repented. You just found out you had it. You always have had it. And if you don't have it now, you never did. But if you had it there, then you do now. You just maybe don't know it. Right? Amen. So God is sending forth these things and all of this experience and trials and so forth is to draw out of us that eternal life that's there, that's laying there, to draw out of us the activity in that realm rather than this realm.
Yes.
Right? So God is, all He's doing is just drawing His children up to live like Him. Drawing you to the place where you don't have to feel it, you don't have to see it, you don't have to have a sign, you don't have to have encouragement, right? This is where He's taking us to, so that we can be just like our Father and stand on the brink of our situation and say, I don't see anything, but I'll speak it anyway, and I'll believe it.
Amen.
And I'll watch it happen.
Right.
Amen. For sure. That's why trials come our way. You know, since Satan injected himself into the human race, now we're all mixed, right? It's all mixed. Everything's all mixed up. You got all these. I was talking to an engineer this week, and he was asking me about that. I'm like, man, there's two trees, man. There's two, you know. But since Satan injected himself into the human race, so now we have a serpent seed. Now we have a false vine. Now we have tares. Now we have Jezebel churches. We have Cains to deal with. We have Balaams to deal with. We have Jeroboams. We have Sauls, the sons of Kishes, to deal with. We have Judases to betray. All these things are all mixed together, and God's people right in the middle of it. We have a Jezebel system that God has to get her out of. Come out and hurt my people.
Right.
So God has to have some way to call His people out of all that. They're out among. They're not Judases, right? They're not Sauls of Kish. They're not a Balaam, right? But the Sauls of Kish and the Balaams and the Cains try to affect them. The Jezebel system try to affect them, right? Because they're all together and it's an influence. And so in all that, and so God has to have, I got to have some way that I can call in a military supporter somehow and reach my people and take them out of that before the judgment falls upon it. So how's He going to do that? The way He does it is with His spoken word.
Amen.
Amen. Faith in His spoken word.
Yes.
That's how He does it.
Amen.
Amen. And you understand that at the end time, it's been His spoken word all along, but at the end time, God brings us into contact once again with that spoken word.
Mm-hmm.
Specific ministry here at the end. None of the rest of them had that all along through the ages. But a specific ministry that cannot be denied that spoken word was present. God brought us into contact with that once again. As he said, and as I've quoted many times there in God of This Evil Age, that God had ordained that this bride at the end time, that she has to come face to face with the enemy once again like Eve did, this time not to fall. And he said she has to come face to face with an enemy, but she doesn't have to come face to face with that enemy with the only thing that she has in her arsenal is denominational teaching, because it won't work.
Right?
So the prophet said, not that she's going to have to go and face it with denominational teaching, but once again to come face to face with thus saith the Lord,
amen,
with spoken word, and that's the experience she has, and now she can meet that enemy.
Amen.
And she's got something that can destroy him. So God made sure here at the end time that he would bring us to the place that we would be exposed to and experience and realize we have the opportunity, we have this, we can hear God saying, you're my child, you can do this because I'm in you.
Right.
So he's bringing us to the exposure of this end time ministry, which is the same thing that's been all along, but you realize here at the end God said, I'm going to come here and I'm going to bring this experience to my bride.
Right.
And she, with that experience, will not fail. She will escape the Jezebel churches and the Cains and the Balaams and the Sauls and Jeroboams who tries to create false religions and so forth. She does that.
Right.
She comes to that. That's the way God pulls his children out. So he brings us to the place where we're in contact with that. And what is he doing? You know, I didn't plan it now, but I think back on now whenever that scripture I read that. He begot us again. And I said, where we were got the first time. He's bringing us to a place here at this end time. This is why the prophets preach spiritual amnesia.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So, we understand we're here, and we didn't know where we come from. We don't remember that, right? And as the prophet said, one of the ways, because people can go into amnesia when they go through a tremendous battle. Well, don't you think that was a battle that happened in heaven?
Yeah.
And through all that, now we're here, and yet we have forgotten because of the tremendous battle that happened there. We don't remember, right? Well, as the prophet say, but a way to get the person to come out of that amnesia is to get them around familiar places.
Yeah.
So, what does he do here at the end time? He brings us into the realm of the spoken word, and we go, I think I remember that now. I'm hearing from my theophany.
Yeah.
I'm now understanding what this is, right? That's what's happening,
right?
So God is, by doing this, he's taking away spiritual amnesia. Because if you stood on the brink of these things and you have desire and you want this and you have a hunger for your children and your family and your lost loved ones, and you're standing there and all you've got is denominational teaching. All you've got is what the world has infused into you, what Balaam has taught you, right? What a Jezebel system has influenced. If that's all you have, then you don't know how to stand there at the brink and get the victory and results that you need, right? But if you can come into contact, and once again, you realize who you are, you know where you come from, you're hearing from your theophany, now you can stand there and it's going to be different.
Right.
How's it different? Because you turn to the things of the flesh and to the world, and you look at all the things that the devil tells you that says why you can't have what God has promised. No, not because of that, but because you've come in contact with thus saith the Lord. You've come in contact,
amen,
with a word that was reserved to come at the end, that now you have seen, it's in your presence, you've experienced it, and God is just saying, now put everything else away and just hold to that right there.
Amen.
That's all he's saying.
Yeah.
Right? What is he saying to him? You're my child, you've got that gene in you, and I'm teaching you how to stand there and believe when you have nothing
right to
encourage you to do it except just faith. My word.
Right.
Amen. Amen. That's what he's doing.
Right.
So what does it take for sons of God to come to manifestation? You know, in Romans chapter 8, verse 19 through 23, I don't think I gave it to her, but it speaks there that the entire creation is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God.
Yeah.
This whole universe is going to be liberated, right, when the sons of God come into manifestation. To wit, the redemption of our bodies. That's the second part of adoption, is our change of our bodies. But that whole creation, the trees are crying out. I think I mentioned somewhere when I was ministering that I said, the trees, you know, you walk by and the tree says, there goes the Son of God. I'm waiting on him.
Right.
He don't know it yet. He don't know it yet. The fish are, oh, here, this guy that caught me on the hook today, he's a Son of God. He doesn't know who he is. But I do.
Right.
Creation groaning. The scriptures talk about the waves of the sea foaming out their own shame. Shame, the shame that they have been put into bondage because of the fall of man. But they're longing for sons of God to come to adoption, where all that's going to be loosed. Right?
Right.
When sons and daughters of God come to their place and come to their adoption.
Yeah.
Amen. And so Romans chapter 8, verse 19 through 23 talks about that. The creation will be liberated. Right? When will that happen? When we come up into the realm and live like God.
Right.
Amen.
That's what it is.
Yep.
Amen. Do we live by faith in the spoken word?
Right.
When it is revealed. Because it hasn't always been revealed in the church. We know here at the end time, God has revealed these things. Because it's time.
Right.
So, Until we can see opposition and see it get worse and get stronger.
Amen.
That's the thing about Abraham. Remember, that's the whole, this, he's the father of faith. Why? Father means the beginning, right?
Right.
Father, he was the first one to stand there and get stronger no matter what happened. He believed it anyway. Well, Abraham, it's been another 10 years. What about it? He was stronger in faith.
Right.
Amen. Right? He didn't get weaker. I know, and I want to try and present this to you in the way that I'm seeing this, is that when things come up, when you know you believe in God for something and you see something else happen and it makes it look even worse, why is it that when that happens, that we feel depleted even more because something else has happened that's even harder to deal with? Why do we go that route? When you understand the faith of Abraham, when he looks at that and says, you mean to tell me the devil is stupid enough to put another obstacle there in front of me to tell me even further that I can't have the promise of God? You are such a liar. You're such a... It should give us more faith, stronger belief. But instead, what do? We get weaker.
Right?
Shouldn't be that way, brother, sister.
Right.
We should come to this place where when things happen, if you know the promise of God and you know who you are,
Amen.
That you can say, you know what, devil?
That's right.
Amen. Try if you want to.
Yeah.
You're still going down.
Right.
Right?
Right.
We've got to, I'm showing you that until we can be like our Father,
Amen.
And stand there and don't feel a thing, see a thing, but just believe that spoken word,
Amen.
That lies
right.
within us.
Amen.
Right?
Right. Amen.
The spoken word that lies
right.
within us, because
right.
it's the life of God that's in us.
Yep.
Amen.
Right.
We need to get to the place where we can just laugh in the devil's face. And I don't mean that. To not be serious about your walk with God and the trials you go through,
yeah.
but through faith to say, Satan, when are you ever going to learn? When are you ever going to learn that you just get whipped that much harder when you try even harder?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Bible tells us if you'll resist the devil, resist him.
Yeah, that's right.
He didn't say beat him up, destroy him. He said just resist him.
Yep.
Yes.
And he will
flee from you.
He's scared of it.
Amen.
The weakest Christian, get out on earth. How many do that? How many of you feel terrible? You're like, oh, there's no faith. Just say, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Right.
The prophet said this, that the weakest Christian get out on their prey and say, you know, I said, Lord, I'm the weakest Christian, but I am here now, and I'm praying, and I'm speaking to your promises.
Amen.
You realize, how many do that?
Amen.
You need to. You don't have to feel it. You don't have to see a sign. Say, it's the word of God, and I'm on my knees, and I'm praying. I might be weak, but I know that the devil is fearing right now.
Yeah.
It's what you've got to do.
Amen.
Right? We got to learn to do that. Amen. Because that's how we overcome.
Right.
It's how we fight our battles.
Right.
By his word. And right. Jesus showed us that you can defeat the enemy by the word.
Right. That's right.
Because he can't go beyond that word. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Right.
Amen. We need to get to the place where we can do like David and say, you know what, giant?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to feed your carcass to the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field.
That's right. Exactly right.
I'm going to cut your head off with your own words, your own sword.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
David used Saul's sword to cut his head off.
Amen.
Think about that. Where you can take Satan's lies and his things he tried, and you can destroy him with those things when you have the victory in God.
Amen.
Right? Because they're lies. Mm-hmm. That sword of Goliath was not meant for David's neck.
Right?
Amen. Right? Haman died on his own gallows that he was trying to destroy God's people on.
Yeah, that's right.
Satan will go down with his own lies.
That's right. Yeah, that's it.
When you know who you are.
Amen?
Amen?
Man,
don't you know that if you pray that you have that petition before God, you think he doesn't hear? You think he doesn't, he's too far away? Listen, that's what Elijah said to those heathens. Maybe your God's too far away. Maybe he don't hear. Why? Because we know our God does hear. We know our God is near. He's always present, right?
Yeah, that's right.
But when you believe something wrong, well, it might not be, but our God hears. And I'll put it this way, that when you put that on his, that paperwork on his desk and say, there's my prayer, there's my promise you've given me, and there it is, then God has to deal with that. He doesn't just throw it off in the trash. He has to address that. And God don't let his paperwork stack up on his desk like maybe I might.
That's right.
He's going to deal with it.
Yeah.
You know what? I took my car to my brother so he could work on the transmission. I gave him a couple of days. You know what I do? I call him. Hey, you know, give him a couple of days, I'll call.
Yeah.
What? Pray. Ask God.
Right. Yeah.
Go back the next day. Pray. Ask God. Hey, you said so. I'm that widow woman down here. I'm down here and I'm coming every day. I'm going to wear you out.
Yeah.
Why? Because he said it.
That's right.
He said that you can come daily and that he can be wore out and he can say, I'm tired. God don't get tired of nothing, right? But he said, just listen to this. You can get to the place where you make him tired of hearing you come every day with this petition saying, avenge my adversary.
Right?
Right? That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Amen. Because he said so.
Right?
Right? God don't fail. And neither will you if you believe his word.
Amen.
We need to get to the place where when these things happen that try to discourage us, you need to stand there and say, boo, devil.
Yeah, that's right, boo, devil.
And I don't mean the cliche of the message because we've heard that. But you need to say it with conviction.
Amen.
Boo, devil.
That's right.
Right?
Amen.
Boo! Because the word of God says he's scared when you have that kind of faith. You know what he wants to tell you? He's trying to tell you as a minister, you better not say that. You better not tell those people that. You better not stand there and tell them to believe like that. Because before the day's out, he might attack you and do something, and then where are you going to be? Right? You know how the devil is. He's trying to tell you anything.
Right.
Right? But as long as it's God's word, amen, you can hang your life on it.
That's right.
Boo, devil.
Right.
Amen. So God sends trials our way to make us like him.
Right.
You know, sometimes the trials seem so harsh. We've seen them. We see things. We've experienced things in our lives, in our families. We see other people go through things. I haven't, you know, I think about Tim Dodd. His wife just all of a sudden dies. He's a believer.
Right.
What? That seems so harsh. Right? Martin brother, his wife too, you know, something like that, or Brother Miller, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, sometimes these these trials that come our way, they seem so terrible, so merciless almost seems like, right? You understand what I'm saying? So rough and so harsh of a trial that God is letting come across his desk.
Yeah.
Right? There's another scripture said, be still and know that I'm God.
Yeah. Right.
Be still to know that. I know what I'm doing. You just keep hanging on to my word and I'll bring it to pass. You keep believing for your healing, and one of these days the Holy Spirit will come through your neighborhood and bring it to pass. Amen?
Right.
And we don't put God in a box and say, God, you got to heal me, and I got to feel fire come across. No, I don't care how he does it. I just won't be healed.
Right.
And he promised I can be. Right? So you didn't believe it.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
And so he sends these things, and sometimes they seem so harsh. But I'm telling you, I say this, I don't think I'm venturing without authority. I think from the message to say this, to look in the types and the shadows of the Word of God, I think I can say to you that it is the tender hand of Jehovah.
That's right.
That you go through things so harsh. We see our children going through things and we just don't understand. This is not what we taught them to be. This is not what we wanted our children to come to be. We see that. And sometimes, and see, but I'm just telling you, God knows what he's doing. Amen?
Right.
He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
And sometimes it just seems so harsh, but he knows what it takes to get us to where he wants us, where he needs us to be, which is to be like him.
Right.
He knows exactly what it's going to take to get you to believe him in that fashion. It's going to be by things. It's going to be sickness as it comes. You might have it in your own body. You might have your children going through things. You might have a job that's a situation that's continually grating on you. Financial problem. Whatever it is, God knows how to put pressure on us to get us to the place where we can believe without sensation. You know, that's one of the mysteries of the age, is to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost without sensation in the midst of an environment. In the midst of a Pentecostal day where they want to tell you, you've got to shout, you've got to speak in tongues, you ain't got it if you don't have that. In that environment, God's got people who say, you know what, I believe I've got it. And I didn't feel a thing. Because you can see the fruit of what it does in your life.
Right.
To the Word. You see how God, see how these things unfold? God knows he's bringing us to a place where we've got to believe his word without sensation. And he lets a system rise up that if from all intents and purposes it looks like you don't have it or you don't do like they do. And I'm not bashing those Pentecostal gifts. I'm just telling you it's the hand of God, because he's got to have a people who can believe without sensation. Because he did. And he's bringing us up to that level.
Right.
Amen. You know, it's the tender hand of Jehovah. We know that phrase because it's attached to the Holocaust. The prophet told us that when those, then Hitler and Mussolini and Eichmann and Stalin, they rose up and they brought the Holocaust and killed all those people, 6 million Jews, because there was 18 million on the earth at the time, and a third, as the scripture says, 6 million of them, right? The Bible's right. You know, 6 million. When I was in high school, we did poultry judging. We'd judge, go down to the Arkansas, or the college here, Russellville, and judge poultry. And my wife's looking at me like, I ain't never heard that. Yeah, it's true. And I remember in that auditorium, and I'm like, man, there's a lot of people. And it was 2,000. They told me it was 2,000 people. I'm like, oh, that's a lot of people. Years later, after we were married, I'd go out to the Air National Guard base, because her dad was maintenance chief out there. And we'd go out there to that air show, and there would be 80,000 people out there. There's a sea of people.
Yeah.
80,000. They killed 6 million of those Jews. That's pretty harsh. And a prophet, able with the leadership of God, to say that was the tender hand of Jehovah.
Yep.
And you might say, what kind of God is that?
Yep.
But stay with me so that you can understand what we're talking about. God's word said, I'm going to bring them back to the land of Israel, that they are backslidden when they're out of Israel, and I cannot fulfill my promise to bring the Messiah to them and end this thing and bring to them what I promised them until they're back in their into their homeland. But they had this Jacob spirit upon them that they could prosper no matter where they went. So they were in all the world prospering, filthy rich and all that, and there was no way they was going to go back to that homeland. So God couldn't fulfill his word. So what did God do? God said, let me take my tender hand and let me move you back. Let me put you in the place where I can bring my word to pass in your life. That's what he did. Why? Because they resisted it. They knew that they should have been in that land. They knew they should have been there. But oh, things were too nice out here. We're too prosperous. We're doing so good out here. And so what does God do? If people won't listen to him, right, then he has to use his tender hand. So the tender hand of Jehovah allowed those men to rise up. And you can say, but such a terrible Holocaust. Yes, it was terrible. But in comparison to what God is giving them for eternity, that can't even be compared. And you may think that it's harsh what you're going through and what you see happening around you and all that, and it such seems like such pressure on you, and I'm just telling you, it's the tender hand of Jehovah getting you to where he can fulfill his word in your life.
Amen.
That's all it is.
Yep.
Right? Do you believe it?
Amen. Hallelujah.
Do you believe it enough when times aren't good? That's what it is.
Yep.
So what do? You do like Abraham. Regardless of what it is, praise God.
Amen.
Right? His word is right anyway.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
We do not want to be out of God's will. We want to be in the promised land for us. Amen.
Right.
We don't want to be out of his will, and so he doesn't want you out of his will. And so that's why he deals with you. Right? That's why that you feel conviction. That's why you feel the Holy Spirit nudging you. Yes, it comes in all those forms. But that's why. Because why? You're a child of God.
Yes.
And if you're a child of God, he has to deal with you.
Right?
Right?
Amen.
And he knows what it's going to take. And maybe I had heard the testimony, I don't know who, years ago, and it may not even be true, but I'm going to tell it anyway because not to either get the point across. They tell me that there was a woman and she had a boy that was crippled. And he was outside, and all the other kids were playing, and he's out there, and he couldn't do anything. And Brother Branham was standing there, and she said to Brother Branham, Brother Branham, why is my son like this? And you understand, why can't he be healed? And Brother Branham said, Sister, your son is very bright, right? And I don't remember the exact words, but here's what I'm getting at. He's very bright, and God has to let that be there to throttle him back, because without it, he might make decisions in life that wouldn't be good for him. Can we believe God has that kind of control in our life? I know that he changed my life. I know that he didn't let me make decisions I wanted and go the direction I wanted to go, and I'm glad now that he did.
Right?
You understand? But we have to be still and know that he's God. And everything we go through, we have to say, you know what? God has got this situation. No matter how terrible it feels, Lord, I just thank you because you're dealing with me. Right? His rod and his staff, they comfort me. Right? Because if he didn't love you, he just let you go right on off into yourself. Like the rest of the world. Amen. We want to be in his will. So God lets situations come upon us that look impossible so that we can be like our father Abraham and just get stronger in faith. Amen? So that when we stand on our brink of whatever it is, we can be like God.
Right.
We can say, you know what? I believe that God has placed in me his life. How many believe that?
Amen.
You believe it? I believe God has placed in me his life, a life that can believe, a life that can even speak. It's just, the maturity level has to come. And as we approach that full maturity, God, maybe some days he lets us speak. Right? Maybe someday he'll say, speak. And you speak and you say, God can, or somebody can bring me an ink pen and a wrapped up bubble pack. Maybe he lets you do something like that along the way. Just, you know, the son is under tutors. He's just like the rest of the workers out in the field. But every once in a while, maybe dad said, hey, take the keys, go to town. Let you do something maybe you couldn't normally do all the time. See what I'm saying? We have to seek for God, a relationship daily with him where we're so interactive with him and that we're growing. And no matter what he puts upon us to mold us and make us, we're willing to still believe him and still, I'm right here, Lord, and I know that you put this extra labor on me to do this extra work in the farm, and I don't understand why you're doing that, but I'm going with it. I believe you, and you're still my God, and I'm, right. You understand?
Right.
Still believe it. Still go with it. Amen. Amen. So when we stand in our situation, we can believe like him. And I'll end up saying this. We can't stay here in this realm any forever.
Right.
You realize someday we all have to leave here.
Right.
And I believe we live in a time where we don't have to go the way of the grave. We might. There might be some of us do. Okay? If that's what God wants, okay. But we're in the hour where he's doing, and this is the kind of work that he's working in his people, bringing them to the place to believe his word enough that once in a while he even lets you speak it. He even lets you move, and your desires manifest it. And what is he doing? He's just bringing closer and closer and closer to a full manifestation where you and this whole planet is going to be liberated. That's all it is. Just God dealing with his family.
Amen. Right.
Bringing them to be like him so that they could live in the realm that he lives in and not in this realm that's decaying every day.
That's right.
We're not staying here forever.
No.
So today, whatever today is, the 14th or whatever, November, right? That 14th? 16th? November 16th. Today, November 16th. 2025. Today, let's make a decision that I'm going to take this realm and I'm going to stick it on the back burner back there. Let it take care of itself. I'm going to put on the front burner this relationship with God where he deals with me. And I talk to him, and it's a relationship of sons and daughters of God. It has nothing to do with failures and stuff like that. You understand? When you fail, there is. But you're a child of God. You can't fall out of being a child of God. God will not lose his children.
Right.
You're going to come into that place where you'll know. And so whatever it is, you just come and talk to him and say, Lord, I'm sorry. You know, and just get back up and go on. Because he can't lose you.
Right.
I'm taking a great liberty this morning to speak to you because I believe you're children of God.
Amen.
And to express to you what your fight is and what you need to do, the decisions you need to make. We've got to quit looking for everything, or even not. Even, so many people look for everything to be glorious. You know, a lot of people come to church, and if they don't have a knockout song service, then it wasn't no good. Or a knockout just where the preacher's all over the place, or whatever else, no good. You understand? It doesn't matter when you're a child of God. You just whatever it is. You're a child, right?
Right.
And believe him, no matter what's happening. Believe him.
Right.
Take courage. Courage. It takes courage. It took courage with David to run out there and meet that enemy.
Right.
But take courage that you can stand there and say to that giant before you, you have the audacity to try and defy the God of Israel. To defy the God whom I've given my life to, and I've given the life of my children to, and I've given this church to. And you're going to try and stand here and defy that God who we belong to? You understand what I'm saying? And David said, no, we got a bigger God than that. And that's what we're doing, right? That's what I'm doing. My God is bigger, stronger, better than all these things. Amen?
Amen.
That's right. That's what it is. You know, we have all the revelations of all these things, and that's been a big part of my ministry, of all these things, of how it all unfolds and where we're at. But when it comes right down to it, you got to believe it.
Right.
And those things are there to make sure you believe who you are,
right,
so you can be like God.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
May the Lord bless you as musicians come. Let's bow our hearts to Him. Lord Jesus, we thank You, Lord, for these little times around Your Word, to be able to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ to Your people, Lord. And so we just ask, God, that these things that have been spoken today, Lord, that You would just go ahead and just make them become a permanent part of Your children's revelation and their walk. Lord, that they never forget these things, that they are Your children. I'm asking, Lord, that You just bring each and every one of them up a higher level. Take them up to a higher spot on the mountain, Lord. May they come to a high place, Lord, up there, the tablelands or whatever it is, so that they can get up there and they can feed on You, and a place where their enemy is not so prevalent just for a moment, that they can take this time and just really strengthen themselves, Lord, as they get prepared to move forward. Lord, I pray that they believe. And we love You, Lord. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Why should I worry when giants are calling my name? That phrase came to my mind there a while ago. So.
I don't know that's in the songbook.
You love Him?
Amen.
is bigger and stronger, better, greater than anything Satan or this world can throw your way.
Yeah.
Right? Amen. Those of you that have need of healing in your bodies, you don't have to. You don't have to have that forever.
Mm-mm.
Right?
Mm-mm.
You don't.
Right.
Sister Anna, Sister Vicky, it's just lies from the devil.
Right.
Why?
Right.
Because God's word said you're healed.
That's it.
Amen. You just have to believe it. You have to stand pat on it.
Life's
Amen. We believe it.
Done.
Amen. We believe it.
Amen.
It's already done.
Yeah. Sing out.
You know that song?
It's already done.
I think this brother knows it.
Yeah, I think Tim knows it.
Well, maybe Brother Tim wants to come up here and sing it. there we go.
Yeah.
It's already done. Oh, it's already done. Our battle is over. Victory is won. It's already done. Oh, I'm already healed. I'm already.
Giant that is in front of you right now in your confession,
yep.
And you say it's always
it's already
it was
done.
It was done on Calvary.
Yes, that's it.
That's right. So you just say it's already done. You're
Believe
going down, and
right.
I don't need to feel it. I don't need to see it.
That's
I don't
right.
care how long it takes. God's got this because I'm giving it to Him every day. I'm
Amen.
Thanking Him for it every day. I'm testifying to it every day. You look at your situation and say, you know what? It looks like it's gone so far. I just don't see how it can come back. It's already done.